the book of 3 John this morning, if you want to turn to that passage. The book of 3 John. If you'll notice there, if you weren't already aware, that there's only one chapter for 3 John. You can read it pretty quick. It doesn't take long. I'm going to read just a few verses this morning. Before we do, let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, thank you for your blessings to us of this Sunday morning. Once again, you've been good to us, meeting with us and blessing us with songs that stir our heart and cause us to worship you together. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, providing for us, meeting with us. As we open up your word today, I pray for that divine anointing that makes preaching effective. I pray that you would touch my lips, my mind. Give me strength even in my weakness today. Anoint our ears and our hearts that we would be able to receive what you want us to receive today as well. I ask this today in Jesus' name. Give you the praise. Amen. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Now, this is the Apostle John writing. He understands some things, and I think we have to, this morning, I'm going to try to dig into some of the stuff that may be in his mind. But just imagine who he was when he says, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that you will prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Do you see the correlation here between physical health and spiritual health? Verse number 3, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Verse number 5, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Did you notice that I skipped a verse? If you were following along, I'm sure that you noticed. You might not have noticed if you didn't follow. Because I skipped that verse because I want to come back to it, because that is the verse that I want us to focus on this morning. The phrase in that verse specifically, he said, I have no greater joy. Let me pause and just make a further statement. He's giving us an insight as to the source of joy. The source of joy. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. There's that word truth again. We could spend a lot of time this morning just talking about that aspect of this passage, but I want to draw the attention today to that phrase of that very, that first part of verse number 4, I have no greater joy. Joy is not accidental. Joy flows from whatever it is that we value the most. Whatever it is that we value the most. In other words, we have priorities in our lives. We live by our priorities. Whether we like it or not, people can read them every day. People know who we are by the statement or within the statement of our faith based on our priorities. They read in our lives how much we spend of our time in certain things. People read us in our priorities in our lives on how we respond under pressure. This can really get close to home to any one of us, but they read us and the priorities of our life by what excites us. What we get excited about. Or what discourages us. Either side, they read us. They understand our priorities. They can understand some things about us. Someone would say, I wish they'd stop judging me. Well, sometimes it's not judging. It's simply reading what the written pages of our lives presents to them. But here's the question for us today. What is the source of your joy? I have no greater joy, he said. That statement right there should stop us, at least briefly. There should be a selah after that phrase before going on, just to get us to stop and think about it. I have no greater joy. This man that wrote these words, I know that he wrote them under the anointing of the very breath of the Holy Spirit, helping him, causing him to write. I understand that. But this man that wrote these words, I have no greater joy, was a man who walked literally with Jesus Christ. Walked with him. Jesus' voice called him to come and follow him and be his disciple. Now, if I look at that from a selfish aspect, I would think that there'd be a lot of joy that would be found within the realities of that very thought and that very reality. And yet we find that John writes these words, I have no greater joy, and gives a description that really doesn't have to do with him walking with Jesus. John not only walked with Jesus, but he heard every one of Jesus' sermons. I don't think the Bible doesn't say one way or the other, but if I'm allowed to go out and onto a limb here, I don't think that John called in sick one day and said, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to hear your teaching today. Maybe there were sick days. But I think that this man heard every sermon, heard every lesson, listened to every parable, watched every miracle, even participated in some of them. And if we understand it correctly, not only did he participate in some of Jesus' miracles and watched every one of Jesus' miracles, there were some miracles that John himself was actively involved in the absence of Jesus when he was sent out. Boy, there's got to be joy in that. This is the man that Jesus loved. The disciple whom Jesus loved. This is him. This is the one that ran to the empty tomb and was so eager to understand and to see. He's the one that looked and saw. But before that, he's also the one that leaned himself against the breast, the shoulder, laid his head on the shoulder of Christ in that last meal together. He was close to him. He was near to him emotionally and physically. There had to be joy in that. What about the time when John was invited to the Mount of Transfiguration, that mount that we know as the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus met with two that had come back from the dead, come back from the paradise of heaven, and was transfigured in front of them, and the glory that he saw in his master. There had to be joy in that. But he pens these words, my joy, my greatest joy could have been being with Jesus, but he says, my greatest joy is to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, there's something significant about that last part, too. He did not say, my greatest joy is when I hear that my children are remembering truth, or that when my children are admiring truth, or that my children are agreeing with truth. But he said, my greatest joy, there is no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now here's the principle. A spiritual maturity takes place when our joy shifts from what God has done for me or done for you, shifts from what God is doing or has done for you to what God is doing through you. Did you hear that? Maturity, spiritual maturity kind of shifts. It does shift when our joy or our joy shifts, when we are stopping the self-absorbed thing of what God is doing for me to provide joy for me, to realize that what God is doing through me is of a greater joy. Joy is a choice. Joy is not a circumstance. Sometimes we need to be reminded that when the circumstance is less than desirable. It's easy to hear that while we're sitting here in this capacity or in this place, but we need to be reminded of that when the circumstances aren't so good. Joy is a choice, not a circumstance. I'm reminded here at this point of Paul as he stood before King Agrippa, recorded in Acts 26. The King James is the only translation that I saw that has this particular phrase in it. The other translations takes away from what the King James. So if you're looking at another one, you're not going to see it this way. But the King James translation says Paul's words to King Agrippa, I think myself happy. Do you think yourself sad or do you think yourself happy? It's easy to get caught up in the circumstances and I think myself sad. Or I think myself discouraged. Or I think myself despondent. Paul said, I think myself happy. Now, what in the world would make him happy? He was in chains. He was falsely accused. He was standing trial. There were some very big negatives in his life. But he stood before King Agrippa and he said, I think myself happy. Could we say that Paul didn't necessarily feel happy, but he chose joy even in the midst of his negative circumstances. I think myself happy. Joy is not a denial of pain. He knew where he was. Happiness is not a denial of pain. Joy is not a decision, or it's not a choice to say that I am going to overlook these problems and just deny their existence. No, it was in the midst of all of that. He chose, his decision was a matter of perspective. He was choosing, I think myself happy. I've never been in prison where I couldn't freely walk out. I've been in prison a number of times, but I still had the option to say or to nod my head and say, I'm ready to go. Get me out of here. And they'd open up those gates and I'd walk out through this corridor and down that corridor, the gates opening and closing as I would come and go. I've been in prison, but I've never had to stay in prison. I really can't feel what Paul could have been feeling in this particular circumstance, but it stands out to me when I hear him say, as I read that phrase, I think myself happy. And if I could add to it a little bit, most noble Festus, he says that at a different time. But King Agrippa, he's standing there and he says, I think myself happy. Now the refiner's fire just might be turned up. The battle may be set in array against me or against you. Emotions at that very time could very well be raw. There's a raw emotion to those circumstances that we face as humanity. I think myself happy. Why? Because joy that is anchored in truth cannot be stolen by circumstances. You may not need that right now, but you may need that later. Joy anchored in truth cannot be stolen by circumstances. Too often we as humanity, because of our makeup in humanity, we try to pull joy from our circumstances or from our health or from the weather or from success and prosperity. We try to pull from all of these external things the joy that we are hungering for or longing for or need. But you see, those things are all shifting. Every one of them will eventually fail us. But John points to something that is ongoing, that can be ongoing, and that is simply this: truth lived out in people causes no greater joy than this. This is the greatest joy. Truth lived out in people. Let me change it. Let me rephrase it this way. There is no greater joy than seeing faith take root, faith stand firm, and faith that keeps walking. No greater joy than that. Just a moment ago, I said that joy is not in the denial of pain, but joy is the decision of perspective, and the refiner's fire may be turned up. You remember those people that had the fire turned up? It was increased. You remember those three guys? In the Old Testament, we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember those guys? The fire was real. The heat was extreme. They faced an incredible amount of pressure involved with the building up before they got thrown into that. You know, sometimes people have an imagination, and a preacher that I listened to some time back had an imagination about this. He had quite the thing to say about it. He'd like to talk to those guys. He'd like to have talked to them while they were in the furnace. I see that you're in the fire. Hey, guys, but you're up walking around. You're not bound anymore. If you're up walking around and you're not bound, you're able to walk out. Why don't you walk out of the fire? I never thought of that before. Why didn't they walk out? This preacher's imagination said that Shadrach looked up to him and said, "It is hot in here, but do you know who's in here with us?" You see, that makes the difference. That's the whole thing about what was taking place. They stayed, not because they enjoyed the fire, but because who was in the fire with them. And then that songwriter said that he's still in the fire. You know, the younger person said, where, talking in that song, where did he go? Where did that fourth person go? And I think it was Grandma. Was it Grandma in that song? The story of the song said he's still in the fire. He's there for when I get there or when you get there. It means he walks through the fire with us. Sometimes joy is not found in the escape, but in recognizing who is with you while in the fire. Let's go back to the Apostle John. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, if we read that passage, he is not talking about his Janae, Jonathan, and Caleb. He's not even talking about his AAA, Adam, Amberly, and Autumn. He may have had those, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about his spiritual children. That's who he's referring to. You say, well, what's so significant about that? The significant thing about that is he is referring to those people that he influenced for Christ. People that have found the gospel active, the grace of God real in their own lives because of his influence. Oh, I think that it's very much of an aspect. I think it's a very prominent thing for a person to say, I find no greater fault, but joy. I have no greater joy than to know that my personal biological children and those that they marry are walking in truth. I believe that that is a good point to consider, but it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that to the point where I am finding joy when I realize that somebody else sees the joy in my life and my joy influences them to receive that joy. We're not dammed up so that we're holding everything in, but we're allowing it to go out and flow through us. Joy multiplied because he didn't keep the truth to himself. If I understand what John's saying here correctly, I believe that what he's trying to get us to understand is that joy grows, it multiplies, because he didn't keep it to himself, but he shared it, he poured it into another person's life. So what that translates to, if your joy seems to be shallow this morning, here's something for you to ask yourself. If your joy is shallow, if your joy is minimal, if your joy is weak, here are some things to ask yourself. Who am I pouring myself into? Who am I sharing my joy with? Who am I praying for spiritually? Who would walk closer to Christ because I'm in their life? John says it plainly. There is no greater joy. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That is the source of joy. What's your source of joy this morning? Would you stand with me? hope that you can repeat the statement over and over again in your mind. There is no greater joy. There is no greater joy. And then for you to recognize where your joy comes from. Amen. Brother Rick Moore, would you dismiss us in prayer?